Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 305, Song of Songs, Chapters 3 and 4. Oh my gosh. I didn't need to refer to anything because this lesson was pretty clear. And it ended in, that's Bible porn, right? That last part, I'm sure you caught it. But we'll just start in a continuation of the story in this man and woman. And remember, in the last one, we were kind of debating whether this was actually Solomon or not, because she talks about, we saw that he was a shepherd. But there were also references where she called him a king. And so it was confusing. We were trying to decide, was he King Solomon or not? And the commentary came down on the side that they don't know for sure. I thought, well, it didn't seem like it because of the part about the shepherd. Now, maybe King Solomon at that time did work as a shepherd, like as a hobby or something. I don't know. You assume that they have their men to do that, but maybe he did that himself. We don't know. Today's reading seemed pretty clear that this was Solomon because he had King Solomon's chariot and all his men, the 60 men that surrounded it and surrounded where he was sleeping that night for protection. So obviously that would only be King Solomon. A simple shepherd wouldn't have that. Also, one of the other debates we had in the last reading was this was about a man, one man and one woman, and it seemed about true love and between two people and the way that love should be. And we know that Solomon had many wives. However, maybe this was his first love. Maybe this was his first wife. So that makes sense, right? So, anyways, I'm continuing on with the assumption that this is Solomon, because it certainly does seem like it. And, okay, it starts out, we learn from this reading that this is obviously a very public relationship. In verse 3, she says, she was yearning for him in bed. In verse 3 says, so she goes out to look for him. The watchmen stopped me as they made their rounds, and I asked, "Have you seen the one I love?" And so she wasn't afraid to ask, and everyone knew the one she loved. Now, the thing that's interesting is that if he was a king, you would think that she would have moved into the palace. But obviously not, because this is where she was living at night. And she finally finds him. She says, scarcely had I left them when I found my love. I caught and held him tightly. I mean, if you can just picture this play out, you know this is the beginning of a very good love scene, right? I caught and held him tightly. Then I brought him into my mother's house, into my mother's bed, where I had been conceived. So this is in her house that she grew up in. She brought him into her mother's house, into her mother's bed. I don't know where her mother was, if this was now her home or what. But that's interesting. So it makes me want to find out the culture at that time about women and marriage. Was there a ritualistic thing for men and women to sleep in different places up to a certain point in marriage or what? I don't know. But then she says in verse 5, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right." She's saying, don't wake him up. So she's surrounded by women, probably women that help her get ready in the morning, women that do her hair, women that clean her room for her. So she is receiving servant help. So if she wasn't born into a high society, she obviously just married into one. Okay, so she's saying to the women, please don't wake him up. And they're so excited, these women reply, who is this sweeping in from the wilderness like a cloud of smoke? They smell the fragrant myrrh and frankincense. They smell his smell. And they see his carriage surrounded by 60 heroic men. So they know it's King Solomon. And so finally, it seems that the young woman is like, all right, come out to see King Solomon, young women of Jerusalem. He wears the crown his mother gave him on his wedding day, his most joyous day. Again, with her, you know, the snide remark about, remember, he's married, he's mine. You know, she has a little insecurity, but he answers that insecurity good, very well again. With his just going on and on of how beautiful she is, and your eyes are like doves, and your hair falls in waves, and he just goes through all this beautiful language explaining her breasts and her neck, and what woman would not fall for that, right? So, he says in verse 7, you are altogether beautiful, my darling, beautiful in every way. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Come down from Mount Amana. So maybe he's coming, he came, and I don't know. Because she was asking the watchmen if they have seen him. So maybe these two houses are close enough to walk. I don't know. Anyway, verse 9, you have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. So this lets us know that, yes, there was a wedding day. They are married. And this is his bride. Verse 12, you are my private garden, my treasure, my bride. And then, of course, he keeps going on. He's talking about this. He's just speaking all of this, everything every woman would love to hear, right? You are a garden fountain, a well of fresh water streaming down from Lebanon's mountains. Then all of a sudden, she's not trying to get him to go back to sleep anymore. She says, awake, north wind, rise up, south wind, blow on my garden. He got her all excited. Blow on my garden. Yeah. And spread its fragrance all around. Come into your garden, my love. Taste its finest fruits. I don't even want to have to explain that. I'm pretty sure I don't have to explain that. But wow. Intense, intense love scene. And we can imagine how that ended. So, what? Yeah, Song of Solomon. To say that this is a love song or a love story is putting it mildly. I don't really have anything to expand upon on that, so I will just leave you with that. Hope you all have a great day. Oh, just to fill you in on my mono situation. So yes, I was diagnosed with mono. It was, I guess, some kind of special test they did. What happened was I had severe neck pain. I've had that before, but it was worse than any other time. It was debilitating. And so then I got a fever, and the two combined had my husband and I afraid that we might be looking at meningitis. So we took it seriously. He took me to the ER. They ran a bunch of tests. They said my blood looked fine, which is good because cancer patients would worry about their blood work. And that this could have something to do with cancer. We always worry. Every time something happens to a previous cancer patient, they worry that it's back. So that worry was kind of gone. And then she said, you have mono. And I was relieved because it wasn't meningitis. But then I started reading about, okay, well, that explains why I've been so tired. Because meningitis or mono... Not meningitis, sorry, mono. One of the side effects is extreme fatigue. So that explains that. But I had none of the other symptoms. The neck pain could be explained by swollen lymph nodes that that push on a nerve or something in my back. So that could be explained. But I had none of the other symptoms like, I did have night sweats, cold and chills and fever and stuff like that. But I didn't have diarrhea. I didn't have throwing up. I didn't have sore throat, congestion, headaches. And one of them was like, I think to have not just sore throat, but what is it where you have like some, anyways, severe sore throat. I can't remember what it's called. But anyways, I didn't have any of that. So I started to wonder if maybe I didn't have mono. If I didn't, that was a problem because I looked up false positive results for mono. Because I thought the neck thing could have just been, I woke up wrong because it was very sudden. I woke up and just all of a sudden and all day had severe pain. And I thought maybe I just slept on it wrong and I tweaked something. In that case, I would just need a chiropractic adjustment. So, but I was afraid to get that done. So, it was just confusing. So then I was on pain meds, which made me more tired. So it was just really hard to figure out. I'm still in some pain, but I went to the chiropractor today. I had an adjustment and I feel a lot better. So it's just kind of curious. I'm hoping to get off the pain meds soon so that I can, because that exasperates the problem. Makes me more tired and I have to get back to life. And I really feel like the mono thing might not be real, that maybe their test was wrong or something. I will take it easy just in case it's not. But anyways, that is that. Kind of a strange thing. That's it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.